Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Dáil is resuming this morning and hopes are high that it will avoid the chaotic scenes that saw the Chamber being suspended 2 weeks ago. Now, the government is set to embark on a process of reform, it says, to ensure all TDs can access speaking time. In a moment, I'll talk about all of this with journalist and commentator Alison O'Connor and Irish Times political editor Pat Leahy. But before we do that, Brian O'Connell has been asking people in Blackpool in Cork this morning what they made of the bitter scenes of the last 2 weeks and how it's likely to impact the stability of the government.
I thought they should have been back 2 weeks ago, be honest with you. It's a complete and utter joke that they weren't sitting. I just think it's crazy. I work for myself and I can't afford to take time off. Now, they might have been doing stuff behind the scenes. I can understand that too, to a point. Like, but with the way the country was, I've in-laws up in Galway and they had no power for a week, 10 days, and I don't think they got too much help really, you know. So I think it's a disgrace.
What does it say, I wonder, about the government itself? You know, it's not a great start, is it?
No, I actually think it's a very poor start, like, and with the regional independence then as well, with the uproar, I think it's a very bad, it just doesn't look good to start with, you know. I think it's going to be a rocky few years, I don't know.
A disgrace. I said the ordinary people have to go a few days after Christmas, and they can take weeks, months.
What did you make of the last few weeks? There was an awful lot of back and forth, wasn't there?
You can't be questioning TDs, and they were at the same time in the government.
So in opposition and in government at the same time.
Big problems in front of my health and housing.
Like everybody else, get on with the business and get things done, but they're not getting anything done. All talk and no action.
What did you make of the last few weeks?
I think the opposition were right that you can't be in government and opposition at the same time. It should never have happened in the first place, I suppose.
And what do you make of the extended break they got?
Maybe some of the ministers need it, but the whole Dáil. And I suppose it's the civil servants run the departments anyway, so.
Does it give you confidence when you think now to the next few years of government?
No, not really. Wonder about this independent group. Will they retaliate further down the line? The public were probably behind the opposition in this one.
That's Brian O'Connell speaking to people in Blackpool in Cork. Right, well, let's talk about the terrible row, because the terrible row seems to be resolved, Pat, but Michael Lowry wants the Ciarán Corla's decision, Rona Murphy's decision, to be reviewed. So are we safe to say there's a line drawn under it, or could it open up again?
I think it's possible, excuse me, that it could open up again. I mean, the row is settled for now. There's been a ruling by the Ciarán Corla, which was published on Monday evening. That's been accepted by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It's been accepted by the opposition. It's even been accepted by Michael Lowry and the technical group. So you won't have that trouble over the order of business that we saw and that disrupted the election of Micheál Martin as Taoiseach for 24 hours. But there is to be a consideration given to the reform of Dáil standing orders by this Dáil Reform Committee. And it's kind of a long-standing gripe by government backbenchers that actually, if you're a small opposition party, that you get much more opportunity to speak in the Dáil on the high-profile debates than they do. And it would be possible, certainly, for the government, because being the government, it has a majority in the Dáil. That's why that's why it's the government. And it would be possible for them to push through a reform of standing orders that gave government backbenchers more time and maybe squeezed the opposition a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think they would be wary of doing that, though, because I'm not sure they really want to reignite this row. And so any changes that we see, I don't think you will see like an exact proportion for depending on the strength of various parliamentary blocs. I would be surprised if you saw a reform of the extent that would arouse opposition from the parties on the opposition benches concerned.
But there's no doubt, Alison, that we're going into this government term now and it's all a bit sour, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Claire. And I mean, honestly, I'm this morning myself sort of just recovering from all the stuff you have just been discussing there at the top of the programme. And that puts in perfect context how the government of any country in the world at the moment, let alone our own, has to be as absolutely match fit as possible. We can talk all we like about, you know, trying to prepare for the Trump presidency. But as this morning's announcement in Gaza shows, there's a certain element of you have no idea from day to day, hour to hour, what is going to be thrown at the world, literally. And that does put all of this in context. And I could well understand where the opposition were coming from on this. And I think the government made an absolute balls of it. And if that's how they're dealing with something like this, you do start thinking, well, how are you going to start dealing with things internationally? You have to wonder, is there an element of you get re-elected back in as quite easily as they did, and that there's a bit of sitting back on your laurels, and you have to hope that 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 attitude is now gone. And I think that people watching, and I mean, even the stuff even outside of Gaza, even what's going on in the US with Elon Musk going into the USAID, the government agency, where they've told now, I think, 10,000 employees around the world, they're all going to be on leave by Friday, that, you know, they've had access to computers trying to get classified material. They've just gone in, Musk and his young male task force, some members of that, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Those are basically people who are like world leaders in climate change. So, it, you know, we're all wondering how, you know, how serious is Donald Trump on any of this? How far is he going to push it? But the bottom line is we don't know. So we have to be, we really have to be ready.
So we have to get our act together is what you're saying as we head into this
term. I mean, completely. And it's kind of, I must say, I'm genuinely very stressed after all that stuff, listening to this stuff this morning. And I was listening to stuff last night on all this Musk stuff. I mean, we are just a cork on the ocean wave here. So we have to really try and,
making a good point, because the waves could get very rocky, which is why.
So just a final point. Yeah. You look at the first, Sinn Féin's first motion, this new Dáil is going to be to do with the Occupied Territories Bill. And Irish people feel very, very strongly on that. And without making any moral judgment on that, looking at it politically, The government and the opposition, I believe, are going to have to be really, really careful here. We can see how completely, you know, off the wall Trump is on all of this stuff. And we saw how, I suppose, at the beginning of the Ukraine war, we had an attitude of welcoming absolutely everybody. And then suddenly all of that changed. So I suppose we...
So just explain why you feel we have to be careful on that. I see Micheál Martin addressed it this morning. He said, oh, everybody agrees that it needs to be changed, its current format, which he has said before, it doesn't work as it currently stands. But why are you saying we have to
That what we need to be is we definitely need to work out how far we want to go on this and how far we want to, I suppose, how much risk we want to take with
it. So we don't want to draw Trump on us.
And I guess that's what, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but I'm saying we need to look at what are the risks associated and where it might end up and how. And I mean, I suppose there is a question for the opposition in this as well, particularly in the stuff to do with Trump. Opposition clearly are there to do a very particular job. But as time goes on, we're going to see, like, there'll be certain times, I'd be very surprised if there aren't over the next 4 years, where it'll have to be pulling on the green jersey and, you know, where people will recognise that it'd have to be a united show of support for the country.
I want to talk about Sinn Féin, because I know, Pat, you were writing about this in the aftermath of the big row that happened. About Sinn Féin, you said that they had showed their teeth now and that this perhaps was a sign of how they would be over the course of this Dáil term. Can you explain that to us? What did you see that you think is going to carry through?
I mean, I think if you talk to Sinn Féin people, and my colleague Jack Horgan-Jones wrote a piece about this in the Irish Times a little while back as well, that Sinn Féin are very upfront about the fact that they are going to, and Mary Lou says it at nearly every doorstep that she does, that Sinn Féin are going to, you know, really step up their opposition to the government. They're going to hold them to account, they say they're going to be. And I think you will see
a more sort of combative approach, both in the chamber and outside it. I also think that you will see Sinn Féin seek to kind of self-consciously be the leaders of the opposition. The arrangement of forces, if you like, is slightly different on the opposition benches in this Dáil than it was in the last Dáil. You've got two sizable parties, both of them led by women as well, in the Social Democrats and Labour. And I think that you will see Sinn Féin try to, and you saw this, I think, a lot in the on the very first day of the Dáil after Christmas, when we had that speaking row. It was a doorstep that
and the
evening.
Leaders were standing together.
And the leaders of the other parties in the opposition were standing around supportively of Mary Lou MacDonald when she very much projected herself as leader of the opposition. They almost looked like backbenchers at a Fianna Fáil or Ardéis, if you like, clustered around the leader. And I think there's probably dangers for the other opposition parties, particularly for Labour and Social Democrats, in that particular projection as well. Mm-hmm. But I think the Sinn Féin are very upfront about this. You know, you will see them be a tough, combative, aggressive opposition. And I think that sort of sets the stage for what is likely to be a more fractious than usual early part of this Dáil.
There'll be no leeway. Like, we had leeway and some sort of cohesion across the House when it came to things like the war in Ukraine and COVID. So are you saying that there will not be moments like that ahead?
I think there's certainly, depending on what the issue is that faces the Dáil, I think we can expect fewer of them. And one of the interesting things, I suppose, will be when you see, you know, how the Dáil deals with and how the opposition deals with the government on the issue that Alison raised there, the Occupied Territories Bill. Sinn Féin is straight in with that. Its first private member's business motion this evening will be about that. And we asked Mary Lou MacDonald about this yesterday in a doorstep that she did outside Leinster House. And, you know, we asked her, you know, what would you say? You know, she was demanding that the government must proceed with this as soon as possible and get it enacted, get it on the statute books. And we said, well, you know, do you think the government should take into account the potential economic costs to this country of pursuing the Occupied Territories Bill at present? And she kind of said, yeah, your government will have to take that into account. All right. But, you know, we want to see the bill.
Right, but still, you know,
so
still go
that's
ahead.
That's their problem, not ours.
Okay. I want to talk to you about Verona Murphy. We had Niall Collins on the programme here in a fairly heated gathering last Friday, and he said the way she was treated was misogynistic during the row. But then she came out, as Pat said earlier, on Bank Holiday Monday night with this very decisive decision on the issue of the speaking rights. How do you think she emerges, Alison, from it all?
Well, first of all, I would say in response to Niall Collins that I've heard others say that, you know, let he who is supportive of the female cause and involving women at all level in politics be the first to cast a stone would be my answer to that.
He doesn't put the cabinet together, in fairness to him.
No, but I mean, I think he does. He's a public figure who I believe should have a responsibility to speak a little bit more responsibly about that and not use it as a political football. So no, I don't agree with him on that, and I think it's far too convenient an assertion for them to make. I think that Verona Murphy did what needed to be done eventually. I think there are still all sorts of elements to this that, you know, they've been very well rehearsed. There is still, as Michael Lowry is attesting, this still needs to be sorted out. And as Pat said earlier, I think you are potentially looking at difficulties in a couple of weeks' time. But I do think, in light of everything else that we've been saying, there's the onus. They'll be very politically conscious of the onus on both sides with everything that is going on, you know, of the need not to rehearse that row, but also that obviously you need change in the Dáil, so that our political landscape has changed an awful lot in the last couple of years, and that needs to change. But going back to what Pat was saying earlier, and what we've seen, and particularly that thing of the of Mary Lou being the centre on the plinth with, you know, with the other opposition leaders behind her, I just don't know how long that will, what's in it for the others to allow that to continue. I mean, I think
very little you would imagine.
Mm-hmm. So I just don't know. The other side we hear talk about is this notion of an agreed candidate on the left, and that'll certainly be an interesting...
Oh, for the presidential election.
For the presidential
election.
Yeah,
which is something that'll touch on as well, because that'll be on us before we know where we are. Yeah. Never mind the left, will there be an agreed government candidate?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say, the idea of an agreed Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael candidate really would put the nail in the coffin, I think, of the notion of any separateness there mm-hmm. between. Fine, if that's the way they decide to go, but then don't be trying to argue the toss on being two
Pat,
very distinct
a quick word
parties.
From you on that.
I'd be surprised if there's an agreed Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael candidate. I think it's fairly well established within Fine Gael. It is certainly widely rumoured, which I know isn't the same thing, that Mairead McGuinness and Francis Fitzgerald are interested in a nomination. It'd be hard to see Fianna Fáil.
Didn't rule it out in your
well,
own
indeed,
paper, yeah.
Yeah. So,
an agreement
I'm not
on
sure
the left?
How would all depend on the candidate. Mm-hmm. And the left in Ireland, to put it mildly, has tended not to be good at uniting behind any one particular cause, never mind one particular candidate. So I think it's hard to see that. I'm not really sure how interested Fianna Fáil is in the presidency nowadays. Fianna Fáil is interested, and Fine Gael, to an extent too, are interested in power. And there's very little power in the presidency.
Mm-hmm. Claire Hannah then was the suggestion for the compromise candidate on the left. Do you think there's anything in that?
Be surprised.
Yeah,
I think what's going on at the moment is there's obviously a bunch of people who are interested in. There always is. They're probably putting together teams at the moment, maybe doing a little bit of polling, maybe trying to raise a bit of money. I think you will see people begin to break cover in the spring at that stage.
Yeah.
Probably know a little bit
and
more about it.
It'll be fascinating when we get there. As I say, it'll be on us before we know it. Thank you so much for coming in, Alison O'Connor and Pat Leahy. Just have this text message in from a listener in North Connemara who says, I see the ESB have just revised our repair time from this Thursday the 6th until Sunday the 9th now at 9 o'clock. On checking other revised repair times in North Connemara, I see lots of the other remaining outages also have a repair time of 9 o'clock next Sunday. This listener says it's unacceptable. There are real people here waiting for what is now weeks for electricity, heat, communications, the ability to shower, wash clothes, use a fridge or freezer, watch the television, charge appliances, and it's hard work. I'm in my late 70s. I know of others in their late 80s. I know very well that there's a lot of folk in a similar boat. But we do have a right to receive information that's half reliable, not some made up date and time. It's really not good enough. And we have been getting messages like that now for almost 2 weeks. Well, we'll be talking about our electricity supply after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.